Hi.
Welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Welcome.
I'm Megan.
I'm Hannah.
And today we are going to cover a much smaller case.
Okay.
It is the case of Karen Stitt. And before I get into that, I need to tell you my weird dream.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. So, okay, I had this dream that I was with this group of people and we were running, you know, from the bad guys.
Okay.
And so it's like down these long, narrow, but oddly fluorescently bright white hallways. And as you're running, if they catch you, and it's these guys that are in all black suits, like black gloves, black shoes, black everything, if they catch you, then they slam the person down onto their stomach and they drag you backwards down the hallway, and then these saws come down and saw your body.
Megan, I don't even know how to respond to that.
It was very bad, and somebody in our group got caught. And then...
It wasn't me, was it?
No, it was some guy that we were with, and I guess he was the slower one in the group.
Well, sucks to be that guy.
So they caught him, and we saw him get sliced, and we had to keep moving. So we had to just keep running.
I don't like any of that, starting with the fucking lights that sound like they would give me an instant migraine.
Yeah, it was like just really, really white. White, white, white everywhere. And then, of course, the guys just wearing all black. It was really, really weird and scary.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. And then one thing I actually wanted to bring up. So I know I'm jumping around. This is very unrelated. But
unrelated to people getting chopped up. Good.
Exactly.
Yeah, glad. Glad to hear it.
Okay. So I did want to make a comment about the resources that we use for the podcast. So at the beginning of the episodes, a lot of times I will state like if there's a book that I used or a podcast, because if you're anything like us, if we hear a story that's like really cool, you know, we want to dive down that rabbit hole and go find other things to listen to.
Okay.
So I wanted to let everybody know that those are not the only resources that I use. It's just the ones like the...
Like the main ones.
The main places that I got my information.
Yeah.
All resources are always going to be listed in the episode description. You can find that on most of the podcast apps. You should be able to see it. Also, if you go to our website, we list every resource on there as well. So just wanted to make sure if you're looking into a specific case and you need help, you're trying to find something, it's all there. So we do not hide our resources.
So random, but so nice.
Yeah, I just wanted to like put that out there in case anybody was wondering about it and thinking like, oh, you only use this book or just this podcast. Because if someone thought that we were just listening to another podcast, that would be like copying.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, definitely just like the main resources.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I literally use like, I swear, a minimum of like 10 to 20 resources per podcast that we do. So yes, there is lots and lots out there. So there you go.
Got it.
Also,
oh my God.
I also wanted to mention, and I don't even know, I've thought about this for a long time, and I know this is so weird.
Okay. But, I'm not sure we can get weirder than we did earlier, but
okay. So I was thinking about this and I was like, I literally don't know why I started the podcast by saying that my name was Megan. Like, obviously it is, but
okay,
that's not what I like to be called.
Okay.
So obviously you can still call me that because that's my name and I will probably respond But if anybody would actually like to know, I truly prefer to be called Meg or Megs.
Oh, so yeah. Okay, well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about that because we've been doing that for a while.
No, I know. And it's not going to change. I'm just saying, like, if somebody wants to know something about me,
oh, okay.
I actually would prefer being called Meg or Megs with a Z.
Okay, cool.
So there you go. Fun fact.
I still just respond to Hannah and Debs. Yeah.
It's true.
I do Debs. Respond to that.
Yeah. It works every time.
If somebody screams it across the bar, I will respond.
Uh-huh. I've seen it.
Yeah.
So whichever one you like there, yeah. Go for it.
And it's not even that I'm necessarily like, oh, I love the name Debs. It's just really
it happened. Yeah.
Because of Shameless. So it is, it's there. And I don't think it's ever going away. And I straight up respond to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's true.
But otherwise, just still just Hannah.
Okay, just Hannah.
Yeah. There's no cool, like, little short nicknames for me or anything, so.
Yeah, not short, but I like to call you Hanners.
Well, yeah, but that's not, yeah. That's
it's not any, short. Yeah, that's I know. True. We'll have and to figure like something out.
Virtually the only person that does that, so.
Really?
Anymore, yeah. I mean, everybody did when I was a kid, but.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll come up with something. I bet someone's got a really cool small nickname for Hannah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
This could go one of two ways, man.
Okay. Okay, last thing.
Holy shit.
Before we get into this case, I do want to state that I did not actually realize that Sunnyvale was a real place.
I'm okay.
So I just want to make sure that I say that because this story is about Sunnyvale.
Oh. Pretty sure that's a Trailer Park and Trailer Park Boys. Also, just fun fact.
Oh.
I'm 99.9% positive. I literally watched the show like I've watched a million times over. And that is, like, I don't know why I'm not, like, oh, I'm 100% positive on this. But, yeah, no, it's totally Sunnyvale.
Okay, well, all I can think about is Life Size.
Is that Sunnyvale also?
Yeah, of course it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's definitely where I thought you were going to go.
No. No, but now I'm, like, second-guessing myself, and I've seriously seen that show so many freaking times.
Okay.
No, I swear that's what it is. Anyways, yeah, no, I know. I guess I didn't even realize that it was, now that I think about it, you're right, it is also in Life Size, but I guess, like, because I've watched Trailer Park Boys probably more recently, because I seriously watch that show all the time. It's such a good show.
Yeah. Okay. I believe you. All right. So, for decades, the death of Karen Stitt went unsolved, but that's actually recently changed after DNA analysis and a tip finally led investigators to the suspect. 15-year-old Karen Stitt was last seen by her boyfriend when he left near Sunnyvale, California at a bus stop on September 2nd of 1982. Karen was walking towards the stop, and her boyfriend left at that point because he was worried that he was going to get in trouble with his parents because he was going to get home late. It was past his curfew, because his curfew was at midnight. Just months before her murder, Karen and her siblings moved from Pittsburgh to Palo Alto to live with the father because their mother, Catherine Marie Leschewski, had just ended her own life.
Okay, that's sad.
Yeah, so this is a really tragic time for them. You know, they're moving in with their dad now, going to a new state. And Karen was able to transition into her new life on the West Coast, and she was fitting in really well. Her 18-year-old sister, Arlie, last saw her when she was leaving to see her boyfriend in Sunnyvale. And she promised that she would be back later that night. Arlie worked very close with the police, but DNA just was not what it is now. And unfortunately, she ended up dying when she was 49, so she never knew who killed her sister. So after Karen didn't come home, the next morning, her nude body was spotted by a truck driver while he was making deliveries. She was found in the bushes near a cinder block wall about 100 yards from the bus stop, and it was determined that she had been sexually assaulted, and she had been stabbed 59 times.
Whoa, fuck.
And that was across her neck, chest, abdomen, and back.
That's a lot.
It's so many. She was stabbed 18 times in the heart, had 10 Whoa. Stab wounds on her lungs, wounds to her neck punctured her larynx, trachea, and esophagus. So this is brutal.
This is like super aggressive.
Yeah. Her wrists were bound behind her back with her shirt and jacket tied around her ankle. Sperm samples and a blood stain were on top of the cinder block wall near Karen's body, and there was blood on her leather jacket. Kicked leaves and disturbances were seen in the dirt, which indicated that Karen was still alive when she had been left at the scene.
Oh, no!
Yeah. In 2000, investigators were able to create a DNA profile of an unknown male suspect using DNA from blood and other samples that had been found at the scene. The DNA was entered into the combined DNA index system. They were finally able to rule out Karen's boyfriend, who had been a long-considered suspect, but the profile did not match anything in the DNA database. With no DNA matches in CODIS, the case just stalled. In 2021, Sunnyvale Police Detective Matt Hutchinson received a tip that one of four brothers from Fresno was likely the suspect. The four sons of Rose Aguilera Ramirez lived about 160 miles from Sunnyvale at the time of the murder. So he began working with a genealogist to develop a family tree based on the suspect's DNA. Genetic genealogy is the use of DNA testing combined with traditional genealogy to help identify ancestors and family members. DNA can be used to identify ancestors and family members, and the DNA can provide information such as ethnic heritage, genetic markers for disease risk, and you might even find some long-lost relatives. Genealogical DNA tests are used to determine your ancestry and genealogical origins. The tests compare the results of a DNA test with those already tested by others to determine genetic similarities. You would typically get a DNA sample from saliva or maybe a cheek swab. Investigative genetic genealogy is a method that is specifically used to discover unknown identities. This is what law enforcement might use. It relies on public information from databases and genealogical research. It can be used to solve violent crimes and cold cases. This was famously used in the Golden State Killer case. There are three main types of genealogical DNA tests: autosomal, mitochondrial, and Y chromosome. Autosomal DNA is used to find relatives within the past 5 to 7 generations, and it can help you discover information about your ethnic ancestry.
5 to 7 generations?
Yeah.
Damn.
So, I mean, that goes back pretty far. Mitochondrial DNA can be used to trace a person's direct maternal ancestry, and Y chromosome will trace a male's direct paternal ancestry. When the case got reopened, Karen's father said, quote, "The whole thing is so painful for me. I don't know whether I can handle a lot of attention being paid to this. I'm not sure I could handle a trial."
That is sad.
It gets worse.
Oh, okay.
Robert ended up dying just a month after giving his interview. and making that statement. So, the genealogist was able to identify the perpetrator as one of the four Ramirez brothers, but they could not narrow it down to which one.
Oh, yeah. God, okay.
The detective was able to rule out two of the brothers and was unable to conclusively eliminate another one, and so that left them with 75-year-old Gary Ramirez, who was in the U.S. Air Force in the 1970s. He would have been 35 when the murder happened. Investigators were able to obtain DNA from Gary's child after tracking them down on Facebook, and the lab concluded there is, quote, very strong statistical support that the DNA found at the crime scene belonged to Gary. At this point, the police did not know Gary's whereabouts. Police detective Matt Hutchinson said, quote, I didn't know his exact location and what his status was. For all I knew, he could have been deceased. There's an initial moment of almost tribulation. You're excited, you're happy, and then it becomes, I gotta hurry up and get him, I gotta find him, I gotta find a way to safely apprehend him and make sure that he faces this. Then, they got a search warrant to swab Gary's mouth for a DNA sample, and the lab confirmed that it matched the DNA found at the crime scene.
Okay.
When the DNA results came in, Detective Matt Hutchinson said, quote, I wanted to scream, but I can't because I didn't want to wake up the hotel. So I just took a moment to reflect. I took a quick glance at her photo and I just told her, we did it.
That's a lot more control than I would have.
You'd be waking up the hotel.
I absolutely would be.
Yeah, I know. It took months of planning and coordination between Santa Clara County, Maui law enforcement, and federal authorities, and the operation was largely funded through a U.S. Justice Department grant awarded to the District Attorney's Office by the Department of Justice to help investigate and prosecute cold cases. A tip led investigators to Gary Ramirez, and he was arrested at his home in Maui, Hawaii on August 2nd, and he has been charged with murder. He was a retired bug exterminator and Air Force veteran with an injured hip. When he was arrested, he was in total shock, and the only words he said were, oh my gosh. He appeared, what? Yeah, like that's all that he said. He's arrested and he just says, oh my gosh.
I'd be saying a lot more than that.
A lot more words would be flying out. Yeah, you betcha. He appeared in court in Maui and will not fight extradition to send him to California for an arraignment. Gary Ramirez had no criminal record, and his older brother, Rudy Ramirez, said it's hard to conceive that his younger brother could carry out such a grisly murder. He said, quote, I've never seen him violent or get angry. Ever. He wouldn't hurt a fly. Gary was...
Well, I'm sorry. Yes.
Uh-huh.
The bug exterminator wouldn't hurt a fly.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I was just making sure I heard that right.
Listen, I also kind of hate when people say this person wouldn't hurt a fly because if a fly is buzzing around you, who would not smack the shit out of that thing?
Well, I think that's the point, though.
But it's, like, kind of a weird phrase.
It is a weird phrase.
But, yes, the bug exterminator would not hurt a fly.
Okay, well.
Now you know.
I think I have the wrong idea of bug extermination, then.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe his business wasn't very profitable. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Gary was extradited to California. After 40 years with no leads, Santa Clara County District Attorney Barbara Cathcart said, quote, the probability of selecting an unrelated individual from the population at random that has this DNA profile is 1 in 24.1 septillion. There, of course, are not that many people on the planet Earth, nor multiple planet Earths. And just for reference, a septillion has 24 zeros.
Holy shit.
So that's a really large number that we're working with.
Got it.
75-year-old Gary Jean Ramirez walked into a Santa Clara County courtroom with his cane to face charges for kidnap, rape, and murder. Karen's mother had died when she was young, and her father passed away in 2018, so her parents never saw justice for her. Karen's aunt, Robin Stitt Morris, was able to watch the arraignment online from Florida, and she said that she is very confident in the case against Gary, and she feels like it's, quote, bulletproof. She says, quote, "I will be disappointed if he doesn't take ownership and plead guilty. Gary Ramirez has lived freely with the knowledge of his unfathomable crimes for nearly 40 years. The time for him to bear the consequence is long overdue." Santa Clara District Attorney Jeff Rosen said the following in a statement, quote, "Behind every old murder file in every major police department, there is a person, heartbreak, and a mystery. The mystery of Karen Stitt's death has been solved thanks to advances in forensic science and a detective that would never, ever give up."
I love the ones that never give up.
Oh, yeah. And like, finally get that case cleared up.
Yes.
And figure out who it was. Michael Calhoun, a former boyfriend, said, quote, "Karen was not like any other girl I had met before. When she transferred from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Palo Alto, California to live with her father during the second half of my sophomore year in high school, the first time I set eyes on her, I knew she was special. Someone I wanted to get to know. Her smile could light up the darkest of rooms, her beautiful feathered blonde hair, and the way she spoke. I won't say it was an accent per se, but it was different than any other girl I knew." Michael said that one of his best friends was dating Karen, so he initially had to stay away from her. He said, quote, "It was kind of like that Rick Springfield song, Jesse's Girl, except I was singing, I want Jimmy's girl."
Oh, no. That's unfortunate.
"When they broke up, I did the cardinal sin amongst friends.
And he got Jimmy's girl.
I started dating her myself. But I did ask my friend first if it was okay. He didn't have a problem with it. I really fell for her."
Okay, shit. If he asked him.
Exactly. Then it's fair game. And he said that she was his first true love. And like,
aww.
I don't see any problem with that. If you asked the friend and they're like, yeah, it's fine. Cool. Yeah. It's good to go. But yeah, he got Jimmy's girl.
That's amazing.
Michael and Karen took a break from their relationship during the summer, but they were planning on getting back together once they returned to school. He said, quote, "As a token of this, she let me keep a ring of hers she gave me when we were together, a copper ring with her name on it, which I still have to this day."
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they never got the chance to get back together, and Michael says, quote, "She was violently stolen from everyone. My first day back to school as a junior was the day of her funeral."
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That turned from so cute to so sad very quickly.
It's really tragic to think about something like that because, obviously, high school is a very terrible time for a lot of people. You're going through a lot of changes.
It definitely is, yeah.
And then, of course, he loses his girlfriend to this awful murder and has to attend her funeral and then go back to school. Like, that's a lot happening here. This obviously did change Michael's life, but he channeled his energy into something good.
Okay.
He said, quote, "It was because of losing her that I became interested in becoming a police officer."
Oh, hey.
"Not that I thought I could actually help in her case, but to be able to help someone else. I even stayed in contact with the cold case detective in Sunnyvale after I moved to Las Vegas. He told me he was fairly new on the force when this happened. He even told me he was on the scene that fateful night, so he was very familiar with the case."
I feel like cops that, like, or people that become cops because of something, like, that traumatic are usually, like, the good ones.
Absolutely, yeah, because you're definitely doing it for a very specific purpose. Your life has been changed and moved in that direction. Since Michael was in law enforcement, the detective was more open to discussing the case with him. But when he retired, the new investigator shut down the lines of communication. Michael learned that Gary Ramirez had been arrested, and he said, quote, "Scrolling through Facebook, seeing her picture next to some guy and reading the headline that an arrest had been made, the wave of emotions that ran through me was overwhelming. Chills, tears, joy. To know they have named a suspect. Anger at the perpetrator. Just about any emotion you can think of, I felt it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. 39 years and 11 months later, finally, a named suspect."
That's got to put you like in a shock momentarily.
To go that long.
And then all of a sudden, just bam.
There it is. Just seeing that face. The journey to a conviction and sentence, if Gary Ramirez is found guilty, could be long. Michael Calhoun says, quote, "The finish line is in sight, but we're still in the final turn from the backstretch. I just hope there's no plea deal and he is sentenced with the maximum penalty allowed by California law. Though nothing will bring Karen back to us, he doesn't deserve to have the sun shine on his face, hear birds sing, or the fresh air in his lungs. I've carried Karen in my heart and soul for over 40 years. I will continue to carry Karen in my heart and soul until my last breath on this earth. I'm just glad we can now breathe a sigh of relief that her killer has been named and caught. I hope Karen is resting in peace now."
Man, if you have that last name, I am so sorry. It's cursed. You're gonna tell me Ramirez is not cursed?
I mean, there are other bad ones out there.
With that specific last name.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that Ramirez is more of a common name, though, so maybe that's why we've heard of more.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there. And you know what? I think it might be Sunny Dale now that I think about it.
Oh my gosh.
This is still on my brain. Okay,
well, I promise you, in the life-size Disney movie with Tyra Banks and Lindsay Lohan, it's definitely Sunnyvale.
This is, like, really bothering me now.
Okay. One of Karen's friends, Maureen Larson, said, quote, "As I read this story, it was hard to believe an arrest had been made, and then a wave of relief washed over me and memories of her. Her school friends, her funeral, all came rushing back. Karen was a friendly, upbeat girl with a big smile who quickly got to know her new schoolmates and was quite social. I was impressed with how this East Coast transplant was adjusting to her new life here."
Okay, but like, is it really going to be him?
Well,
because I'm so sketch right now. I feel like you're just going to like rip the rug out from under me here in a little bit.
Well, I'm not, but we don't have a conviction yet.
Okay.
So, no, it's not going to just suddenly change to somebody else.
But, okay, yeah, because, like, it just, I'm so not used to you starting, like, the story out, like, here's who did it.
And I know.
It's positively who did it. Normally it's like,
yeah,
you bring me on a whole roller coaster first, or you make me think it's somebody, and then all of a sudden you're like, just kidding.
Well, here's the thing. I like to change up the way that I do the stories so that you don't get too comfortable.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Yeah. And but that way you don't know what's happening all the time.
Yeah, no, I don't. And then that's why I was asking, because I'm like, are you just going to like pull the rug right out from under me here soon and be like, just kidding?
No, I mean, we're kind of in limbo on this one.
Okay.
So, you know, that obviously sucks.
Okay, but like, yeah, it's not going to change people.
Okay. No, no.
Got it.
Septillion Hannah, 24 zeros.
Right, right, that's right. My bad.
If Gary Ramirez is convicted.
So many zeros.
Holy shit, dude.
I
know. So if he's convicted, he could face the possibility of life behind bars without the possibility of parole. He appeared with white hair and glasses, leaning on his cane beside his public defender, Laura Wauman. He will not face the death penalty because District Attorney Jeff Rosen announced in 2020 that he will no longer seek that in any of the prosecutions. Judge Adrian Healy asked if Gary's mind was clear, and he said, quote, if you want to call it that.
It's so satisfying and dissatisfying at the same time when they get arrested when they're much older, because, like, it's, like, satisfying because they're finally arrested and you're like, ha, you thought you were going to get away with this and then you didn't. But then it's also dissatisfying because it's like you literally got to live out almost your entire life free.
Right. You got to live it and she didn't. It just, it doesn't seem fair. Now, obviously, you hope that in those situations, like, he's constantly, you know, sick about this and worrying and always looking over his shoulder. But I just don't think that that's the case.
I don't either.
You know, and it's really unfortunate.
I think probably for like the first year or two you do that. And yeah. Then, yeah.
Eventually you're like, I'm scot-free.
Yep.
You know, and for a long time they thought that it was Karen's boyfriend that did it.
Right.
So investigators are trying to confirm Gary's whereabouts in 1982, and they've collected things from his house as well as a guest house behind another home in Maui. His brother Rudy Ramirez told the Bay Area News Group that he was incredulous that his soft-spoken brother could actually be a killer. He said they grew up in a very dysfunctional family. Gary had spent several years in the Air Force before moving back to Fresno with his mother. They lost touch in the early 1980s, but in the late 80s, Rudy invited Gary to move to Maui so that they could all be closer. Gary Ramirez worked several odd jobs, including work as an exterminator, but he didn't kill flies.
I was hoping you said it because I was gonna if you didn't.
And he eventually retired with a bad hip. He was married twice and raised two daughters. Police had obtained DNA from one of his daughters, which helped them zero in on Gary. He was scheduled to appear in Santa Clara County Superior Court, but at the last minute, the hearing was canceled. Barbara Cathcart, Santa Clara County Deputy District Attorney, said, quote, "We were on for arraignment today. The arraignment did not go forward because of medical reasons." I did look around, and I honestly can't figure out what these medical reasons are, and this has been going on now for just about a year, where it was a year ago.
It's like medical reasons with him?
Yeah. So a year ago this time, I think it was last year in August, sometime around there, is when I first heard about the case and started kind of reading about the articles and stuff. So that's when he was supposed to go in for arraignment, and then there's been no updates on these medical issues. They're just not disclosed.
Okay, well, they better be damn good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was August of 2022, and nothing has happened since then, so unfortunately...
Oh, so it's been exactly a year.
Yeah.
Wow, look at you!
Yeah, that's how long I've been holding on to this one. I started writing it back then.
Holy shit.
And I was kind of just waiting to see what was actually going to happen, but nothing's taking place.
Ooh, but maybe you activated it.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I'm
maybe.
I'm putting it out there.
Maybe now, all of a sudden, as soon as it's released or something, or like a few days
there'll
later.
There'll be a big movement.
Yes.
I hope so. Yeah, so I mean, unfortunately, I'm just kind of worried that nothing's going to happen now. Because I don't understand what medical reasons are causing this big of a delay.
But you gotta have faith.
Oh, the faith. Yeah. Okay. I will. Thanks for the reminder.
Well, it's like if they got the, I mean, if they at least like found him now.
Positivity.
They're getting somewhere. They're like, I don't really fucking care what his medical issues are. Get his ass in there.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Barbara Cathcart said there can be challenges when you prosecute crimes that are so old, but they are feeling confident with this one. She said, quote, "A cold case is always challenging to prosecute because, as you say, many of the witnesses have become older and some of them have passed away.
Yeah.
However, in this particular case, our main evidence is scientific. So it is DNA evidence. Karen's aunt, Robin Stitt Morris, said she was absolutely floored when she learned that the killer had been found. She said, quote, 40 years melted away and the emotions that had been buried all came back. A wound was reopened, but somehow I felt relief and peace. Soon we will be able to write the end to this painful chapter of our lives. He stole so much from my family. Karen's death left an indelible scar on our hearts. And that is the end of the information that I have on this one, unfortunately, but I still wanted to, you know, at least put this out there.
Yeah, and you're going to activate it.
Yes, case activated.
Yes.
We need to go. Actually, this was suggested to me by my father.
What?
Yeah, he's the one that actually heard about it.
He has the most random...
I know.
...flipping suggestions sometimes. It's like the... It's so weird because he doesn't have, like, a huge amount of them, but, like, the ones that he does are just so out there.
Yeah, he emailed it to me.
Huh.
So he's like, I think you should do this one right now. And I was like, okay.
And then you were like, let me do it a year later.
Yeah, let me sit on that for a year, and then I will.
Listen, I'm the troublemaker, not you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Sometimes I get confused.
Clearly. Okay. God.
Sorry about
that. Don't try to take my spot.
No one could ever. That's reserved for you, girl.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully this one gets moving because I would like to know more and see if he's actually going to plead guilty.
Case I'm very curious. Activated.
Yes. And next week is Spooky season.
The best season.
And boy, season. Oh boy, do I have some stories for you.
Okay.
So, get excited.
I'm definitely excited, but I'm a little nervous now.
You should be. I've got such a wild collection of tales.
Okay. Well, that was some good wording.
Thanks.
A wild collection of tales.
Yes. TBH, TBH.
Oh my God. How did we get to tiny buttholes?
Everything comes back to tiny buttholes.
Okay.
You know, people still write emails to me and they'll put tiny butthole in there.
I absolutely love that. I think
it's super hilarious.
That makes me honestly happy inside.
And to the people that send me emails and tell me, like, you told your cats about the podcast and you send me cat photos, you are amazing.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's the best. I will always take cat photos.
Never a complaint. I just love that.
Yeah. So.
They really do tell their cats.
They should. Cats do like the podcast.
Yeah, but I just love it.
Our cats will stay in here sometimes when we record.
It's pretty rare.
Well, yeah, because we close the door and they don't love that. But
they get very... I don't know what it is about your door that they get so offended about.
Yeah.
But...
They're like, oh, bye. Yeah. Don't lock me in.
I will shut my door with Monster all the time. And he just, like, lays down and is like, okay, cool. And then the minute we're down here and she shuts the door, he's like, oh, my God, how dare you?
He's very suspicious.
He is.
I think it's because it's the two of us.
It probably is.
They get very nervous around both of us.
Yeah, that's valid.
Because we usually, like, team up and clip their nails and do stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So make sure to follow us on any of your podcast apps. Tell us the stories you want to hear. Like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Leave us a 5-star review if you love us. Tell your friends. Tell your cats. Bye.